This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Christmas Eve, Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we take you for the next 3 hours right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time as we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Shep and Pete across the way. Who's got the update? Schwartz this morning? I think I
Peter
saw a big
Schwartz.
Peter Schwartz in one of the studios. He's got your updates as well as we roll for the next 3 hours. Right here on CBS Sports Radio, a lot to get into, certainly, over the course of the next 180 minutes. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Moose, good morning. A quick check of the staff appears to show that no one has yet contracted the flu from you or your family, so that's good.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Now,
knock on Formica.
Well, yeah, and listen, thank God I'm not here. I do not want to be one that anyone gets sick by. I'm happy that nobody has the flu as of yet, which is great, as it's running roughshod through the household up there in Stamford, Connecticut. I don't love that very fact, but my son Jackson is feeling a lot better. Paul, meanwhile, who's battling off the flu yesterday morning, I get off the air, right? We do a splendid 3 hours of radio right here on CBS Sports Radio. I get off the air, and I'm not even to the West Side Highway. And the West Side Highway, you know, if you're not familiar with Manhattan, there's the East Side and West Side. The FDR Drive is on the East Side, the West Side Highway, or was it the Joe DiMaggio Highway, is on the West Side of the island of Manhattan, right? So I don't even hit the West Side Highway as of yet. I'm on 12th Avenue. I call my wife, as the custom, after I finish up the show, to see if she listened at all. And usually the answer to that is no. She did not listen at all to 1 second of the show. But anyway, I digress.
It's a fair choice.
Well, it's not that. It's just that she's got the kids and they want to listen to Christmas music, or they want to watch something, whatever it might be. Anyway, I say, how's the morning going? And I could tell in the tone of her voice something happened. So what happened yesterday morning was that my son Paul him and his brothers were chasing each other around the house. Paul slipped and fell headfirst into the basically the front of a door and split open his scalp.
Oh, good.
He had to be taken to the emergency room. Six staples.
Oh, my goodness.
In his head yesterday morning. My father-in-law drove up there. Donna's dad drove up there, met Donna. They went to the hospital. Her mother stayed with the other boys. When I was driving home yesterday, they were en route to the hospital in the emergency room to take care of Paul. He had to get six staples in his head.
So all of this happened while we were on the air, and she didn't alert you in the moment? She let you finish the show?
She let me finish the show, right. It happened basically between 8 and 8:30 yesterday morning, about 22 hours ago,
okay,
while we were basically going through the three. Remember, we've got no actualities here. We just had Zach Martin doing it dry because our system has now been down for a solid 72 hours.
Mm.
So there's no opens, there's
only
no
72,
anything like that.
Huh?
Right, basically like that, right? So, yes, between 8 and 8:30 yesterday morning, this is what happens when you have young kids. This is what happens when you have all boys in the household. They don't know when to stop. They love to beat each other up. It does not matter what you say to them. It does not matter the fact that you talk about Santa Claus, the elf. It does not matter any of it.
Nope.
They just love to knock each other around. And Paul yesterday, unfortunately, lost his balance while he's flying around the house chasing his brothers, went headfirst into a door, split open his scalp, and had to get six stitches. Now, luckily, it's not on his face,
right?
Which is great.
Yeah.
Luckily, we didn't have to go to a plastic surgeon, which is great, which we've had to do on two other occasions. Now, this is the fourth time.
Nice.
Paul has had staples in his head twice, and he's had a plastic surgeon be able to fix two wounds on his face on two occasions as well. So this is now the fourth time that Paul has been to the emergency room to get stitches or staples.
Moose, it's time.
And he's only 4 years old.
Yeah, I would. It's either time to pad your whole house, or I don't know, give one of them away. I don't know, or boarding school. I don't know what the right solution here is. But there seems to be constant danger.
What do you mean boarding school? What am I sending them away?
Yeah.
My boys are 6'4". They're 6'4" and 3". What am I be like? Well, I've had enough. I'm wiping my hands.
It sounds too late already.
Have someone else raise them. Yeah, we're sending you to the country in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you need a school marm to get
right,
them in charge.
Exactly. What is this Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah. Do nuns still slap you on the hand somewhere with a rule if you're misbehaving?
No, they don't. No? I think that went away in the 50s and 60s. Only, Bogus.
That's my mom's story, huh?
That's my dad's story. Yeah. My mom's story in Brooklyn, New York, as well. That does not happen anymore.
And they always had a boy's name in their name. It was always like, you know, Sister Mary Christopher. Like, it's like, why are they always doing that? Like, these poor ladies.
Yes, you're right about that.
Like, it's bad enough for the crazy, the dresses and the habits, the headgear they have to wear, and they're, you know, they can't get married. I get it. You sign up for it.
Well, they were stern.
Right,
they were mean. They were nasty.
I wonder why.
Yes. I had Sister Eugene at St. Catherine's in beautiful Bloemfield, New York.
Yeah, we had.
Right. She was not the nicest of sorts.
No, we had. There was one nun left in my grammar school, but she then retired before I got to, I think she was the fifth grade teacher, and luckily she was gone before I got there. Sister, I think it was Mary Margaret, and she was nasty.
Nasty.
As nasty as you could be in the 90s.
Were you an altar boy growing up?
Of course. I was the main altar boy.
Of course you were.
I was the head altar boy.
That's really not surprising.
No, I was the one, like, I got called in for the important things. Big weddings, unfortunately, like, anything that was a major funeral of somebody big in the community passed away. Like, I was one of the altar boys that served confirmations, communions. That was me.
Yeah, I remember being an altar boy, and I think I was the altar boy. Now, I did work some funerals and some weddings, but it was the rare occasion. I was not the main altar boy. I was not Andrew Bogish of altar boys. I did not rise to the top. And there was a time when, because our elementary school was right next to the church.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was a point in time where me and about four or five other altar boys decided on break to go into the church and go into the sacristy in the back, right, and take the Eucharist bag, and have
a
snack.
I mean, I don't know why you would commit a sin like that, Moose. That's why you weren't the lead altar boy.
They weren't a bag.
It doesn't matter. That's still thievery.
Stop. That's not the...
He's sorry.
It's bread.
He's sorry,
it's
Sister
bread.
Mary Christopher. He really is. He is.
And so now I understand why I was not the lead altar boy like you when you were doing that.
Yeah.
But no. So my kids are not going to be going to, this is not the 50s or 60s, this is not St. Leo's, where they're basically having you on your knees and hitting you with a ruler in the back of your head. None of that is transpiring. My kids, anybody ask me, what do you want for Christmas? My wife asked me the other day, and I'm tough to get gifts for, right? Because it's not like I buy a lot for myself, as you can tell by my attire most mornings. It's not like I'm going out there and I'm shopping I'm a clothes horse.
Yeah.
And I'm buying all these clothes, and I'm buying this, and I need to have the newest technology. No, it's not that. It's a case of, I'm like, I don't really need much, and I really don't need much. I'll tell you one thing I do need. If someone could provide me this, if could allow my sons to just stop beating up on each other for a solid 2 or 3 days, to give their mom and dad a little bit of a break during the holidays, where I'm not in fear of the tree coming down, I'm not in fear of going to the emergency room, I'm not in fear of one of them throwing the other through the through the window and through a plate glass window. If I could get that for the next 2 or 3 days during the Christmas break, you know what? I'll sign on the dotted line.
I don't think you'd be selfish asking for that to get you through the rest of 2019.
Right.
The least they could do is get you to next, like, Wednesday or Thursday before somebody bleeds again.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah.
I would love it. I mean, the fact that, you know, yesterday my wife is, and meanwhile, I'm going to Costco. So this is the position I'm in. My son's being taken to the emergency room.
Right.
Right? I've got three boys, 6, 4, and 3. My son's being taken to the emergency room. My father-in-law's en route. Now, the problem I have is yesterday morning, as I discussed with you right after the show, you go, where are you going? I go, I'm going to Costco. You're like, good luck with that.
I was a little jealous.
Yeah, I'm like, thank you.
Love Costco.
I'm driving. So I called my wife. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to meet you at the emergency room? No, you have to go to Costco. Yeah.
No, we need 7,000 plates. Go to Costco.
Right. Well, you need to pick up everything that we're going to be making on Christmas. Meanwhile, I'm going to be cooking the entire meal, right? Mm. So I'm cooking everything. And so I'm at Costco getting updates from my mother-in-law and my wife. About my son Paul, while I'm fighting people over a fresh ham at Costco,
yeah.
and trying to jump the line to try and get out of there as quickly as possible, loading up my cart, then putting it into the car as people are honking me, trying to get into my spot. Because basically Costco, the entire city of New Rochelle was at the Costco that I was at yesterday morning, right when Costco opened. I have never seen Costco as packed as it was yesterday morning.
Oh my God.
I've never seen people basically running through it like there was some grand sale, and they were handing out free soda and free food. There was nothing free. You had to pay for it all. But meanwhile, it was absolutely mobbed. My son's getting staples in his head, and I'm fighting people off for a Diet Coke back.
And it's not even noon.
Yes, and it's not even noon.
Yeah, we were out food shopping yesterday afternoon, and where we go is near the big mall in the area. It's called Roosevelt Field by me in Long Island. And as we were driving there, the first route was traffic for the mall. And I go, I should have known better. And I cut through some back streets to cut some of the traffic away. When we're leaving, I'm like, you know what? Let me go the back way here because the road in sucks so much. But what I forgot was to get to the back way, I have to end up really briefly, but briefly on like one of the service roads, so to speak, that feeds into the mall. That was then mayhem. It took me 15 minutes to go 100 feet to like get to a light to turn out of like the mall mayhem. And then on that next road, there was an accident because I'm sure people were driving like idiots trying to get somewhere. And then it crawled. It took us 45 minutes to do a 12-minute drive yesterday. We ate our dinner in the car because it was getting cold on the ride home.
That's why Amazon's doing well.
Yes.
Because who the hell wants to head to the mall, strip mall or big mall, monstrosity, and deal with all of that? Because you're right. I think whether it be, you know, Hanukkah gifts, whether it be Christmas gifts, it felt like everybody and their mother was at the mall. By the way, I had to run to the mall. I had to run to the bank because we had some work done on one of our bathrooms in our house. So I had to go make sure to go get the money to pay the guy that did all the work at the house.
Got to get that cash.
No doubt about it. So the very fact is that I get home yesterday. It's 12:45, right? I got to turn around and head down to SNY at about 2:15, right? So I get home at about 12:45. My car is packed to the roof to this of it, basically with all stuff from Costco for Christmas and for other stuff that we needed for the house. That's fine, right? My wife's walking out. She's like, I'm going to run to the store. I go, hold on a second.
Whoa.
I go, hold on a second. Wait a second. Number one is I need help unloading this car. I go, I got to go in. I got to shave. I got to shower. I need something to eat. I'm starving. I got the car packed to the brims. You got to help me unload the car before you take off. And so she's like, all right. So she helps me out to the car. My son, Paul, who's trying to go down for a nap, six staples at all with his mother-in-law, with his nan, is laying down. He won't take a nap because he wants me to lay with him. It's 1:25, right? I'm trying to lay down with him. I got to be out the door at 2:15, shower, shave, have something to eat before I head back down to the city to go do loudmouths on SNY at 5:30 yesterday afternoon. My son, Paul's incorrigible. I feel bad. Staples in the head at all.
Right.
He's like, I don't want to lay down. I don't want to lay down. Fight me off, fight me off, fight me off. I'm like, all right, you can come into the bedroom. I got to get ready. You can watch. I'll put the Grinch on TV. He's watching the Grinch on TV. Meanwhile, then he starts to ask, Daddy, can I have a treat? So then he wants some chocolate. It's not the right chocolate I gave him because then I'm trying to take a shower and trying to get myself ready, but he wants a specific type of chocolate as he's sitting in the bed. So I finally get him the right type of chocolate. He's like, this is right. Okay, that's fine. That's well and good. Meanwhile, he won't take the nap. And he's wiping his chocolate hands on the sheets.
Yeah. That sounds about right. That sounds fair.
I said, you have a napkin right next to you.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, I know. Why do you do that? The famous answer for a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, I don't know. Okay, great. I got to go.
I still get that from my almost 9-year-old daughter. She's the sweetest thing in the world, but she has like no regard for anything. and she is just a hot mess sometimes. Like, she's one of those kids that comes home from school, and I know everything she did that day based on her clothes. There's a lunch smear somewhere. There's grass on her pants from recess. She's got some kind of paint or ink on her sleeves. It's just her hair is all undone. And the same way, she's never used a napkin in her life.
No.
Like, Abby, you're almost nine. You're basically an adult. I'm going to need you to, like, not make a mess every time you have a meal. Well, it's really not that hard.
Well, I agree. And listen, there are times where they'll have chicken nuggets with ketchup, and all of a sudden there'll be ketchup on the walls.
Yeah.
I'll be like, how is that humanly possible?
Right. How did that happen?
How did that happen? Or there's a palm print on the wall with barbecue sauce or tomato sauce or ketchup or whatever it might be. I go, how is this humanly possible? The other day, I'm taking a wet wipe off the wall because there was maple syrup on the wall from when they had pancakes, you know, the Mickey Mouse chocolate chip pancakes in the morning. But there was a palm print and there was a maple syrup on the wall. I'm like, how is that humanly possible? Because basically they eat. Nobody uses a fork anymore. They basically eat with their hands, and then when they're done eating, instead of using the napkin, they go to the nearest wall and wipe their hands on the wall.
My kid the other day, my son now, who's six, he's got, you know, we got a little Nerf hoop.
But kids are great, Abraham.
They are. Have as many as you can. He's got a little Nerf hoop in his room, so he's shooting. I can hear it thudding against the wall. He's jumping up and down. And then he brings me a stuffed animal. He goes, Dad, and it's a dog named Boo. He goes, Boo's wet. And he's like mad at me, like I got Boo wet and haven't. I'm like, what is he wet from? I spilled my milk like minutes ago. He spilled it, didn't say anything, let the dog soak up the milk basically. So he brings me this drenched, the dog's butt is drenched in milk.
Oh my
Not
God.
Just water, but milk. So it's like caked on there. I'm scrubbing it, smelling it. It still smells like milk, throwing it in the dryer. But the kid spilled his milk. Knew he spilled it and didn't say anything about it.
There you go.
Like, what, Jakey, what, you can spill it. That's fine. Accidents happen. How do you not come right to me and go, Dad, I spilled my milk. It was all over the top of his dresser, ruined two books because it's soaked into the bottom of the books, and it's milk, so it stinks. You're not cleaning that.
No.
So I'm like, just spill it. It happens. No big deal. You just got to tell me when you spill it so we can fix things.
And one day Jake will be the lead altar boy.
Fingers crossed.
That's exactly right. Mark Maluza's Andrew Bogus with you. It is a Christmas Eve edition as we take you for the next 3 hours, well, a little less than, right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Happy holidays to one and all. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Enjoy it, the time with the friends and the family. And listen, even though Bogus and I spent the last 15 minutes complaining about kids are great. They're really the apple of my eye. A joy in life. They provide so much to you.
Yeah, I'm going to keep mine.
Yes. I'm not sending mine away to boarding school.
Yet.
Thank you, Bogus. That was a nice suggestion from you at about 6:09 Eastern time, 3:09 Pacific. No, I will not be sending them away.
Not all of them.
I would
maybe
just
one.
Like, but if you could, if one thing I could have that Santa could bring me tonight with the elves and the reindeer and with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, if you could bring me one thing, this would be it. Serenity for the next 2 or 3 days. Allow the kids not to want to basically kick the living crap out of one another for the next 2 or 3 days. I would like that. That, to me, would be fantastic. Merry Christmas, everybody. Mark Maluza's Bogus with you, CBS Sports Radio.
When you want to talk sports, we've got you covered 24 hours a day, every day. We are CBS Sports Radio.
This a lot. My uncle, my dad, huge Elvis fans. So go to my uncle's in Astoria every Christmas, about 2 weeks before Christmas. Now, the thing with my uncle was, my uncle lived in a small apartment in Astoria. Him and my uncle Pete, my aunt Rose, huge horse racing fans. If people want to know why I'm into horse racing, my dad Paul, my uncle Pete, right? We used to go to the track always growing up. But my uncle lived in an apartment in Astoria, New York, right? Great apartment. And my uncle Pete worked for the post office his entire life. Great guy. Unbelievable. A great cartoonist. He could draw anything. Great artist, this and that. So
was that his job?
No, he worked for the post office.
Oh, right, you just said that, right.
He worked for the post office entire life. But on the side, he could free draw any Disney character, anything like that. He was just very, very artistic and very funny guy. So, God rest his soul. But we used to go to his apartment about a week and a half before Christmas, right? Now, I talk about my kids, right? My kids, around the Christmas tree, there's ornaments that are on the floor. The one thing we'd always go to my uncle's, and he loved Christmas, used to take great pride in decorating his apartment, him and my Aunt Rose, for Christmas time. And they'd always have the great Italian spread whenever we go over there. But the one thing that he would always make sure is you couldn't touch the tree.
Seems fair.
You could not, to the point where my uncle actually had a gate around the bottom of the tree.
Yeah.
Because it was in the corner, but then he would put up basically like a 2-3 foot gate in front of the tree, and he'd make sure that when we approached the tree, that we could look at the ornaments, but you couldn't touch the ornaments because he didn't want anybody to break any of the ornaments.
He was prepping for your kids.
Right. So anytime we'd approach the tree, it was almost like an alarm went off. And my uncle would approach us and be like, hey, yeah, look at that ornament. Isn't that nice? Don't touch.
Yeah, that wire like you would have around the prison gate around there.
Right. It wasn't barbed wire. It wasn't an electrified fence, but there was a fence nonetheless. But we used to listen to Elvis all the time when we go to my uncle's each and every Christmas. Peter Schwartz is here, bandaged up and all. Now, I've heard the story, Pete, about what transpired. I didn't make my way to the Entercom Christmas party. You were on your way.
Yes.
Now, it's been a rough year for Schwartz. You had hip surgery. When was that? 2018?
So, well, I originally broke my hip in July of 2018.
Okay.
And it healed. And then subsequently, the trauma of the injury caused an arthritic condition in the knee, in the hip, and I had to get a hip replacement surgery. That was in March.
March of this year. Okay, yeah. So you had full hip replacement March of 19.
Yeah.
Now, a couple weeks back, you're on your way to the Entercom Christmas party. Now,
yes.
I've heard this story from people, but I would like to hear it from the horse's mouth. How did you end up where you've got a bandage on your hand like you were attacked and assaulted?
So
what exactly transpired on the
I was not assaulted.
What happened on the way to the Entercom Christmas party?
Well, I'm destined never to go to the Entercom Christmas party because last year, obviously, I couldn't go because of the hip situation. And I get out of the subway, and I'm in kind of unfamiliar territory in Manhattan, not really sure where I'm going, and I stop a postman on the way. I'm like, am I walking in the right direction? You know, to the where the place where the party was. He said, "Yeah, it's two blocks down this way." Halfway down that block, it's raining. I'm holding an umbrella. It's dark. I tripped on an uneven piece of cement on the street, and my first thought is my hip. I don't want to fall on my hip, so I stick my hands out to try and brace my fall. And as I'm coming down, I slash my right hand on a wrought iron fence in front of an apartment building.
Oh my God!
And I didn't even realize I was hurt. I didn't feel it. And I'm like, I get up. I'm like, oh, man, I got to clean myself up, get to the party and everything like that. And I get up, and my hand is dripping blood. And I'm like, oh, my God, I need medical attention. And my first thought was to call 911. But, like, I'm, like, shaking a little bit. And I'm like, let me see if I can find, like, a urgent care place on this block. I get to the end of the block. I don't see an urgent care place, but I see a veterinarian across the street.
I'm that like, handles animals.
Handles animals, obviously. You know, yeah.
Like cats and dogs.
Dogs, moose,
birds,
you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Whatever livestock you might have living in your apartment in Manhattan.
I was livestock for a night. So I'm thinking they have a bandage. I mean, they must have like a bathroom where I can go in and like get cleaned up and get it bandaged up so I can get somewhere else for the attention. And God bless them. They rushed me into like a bathroom. They brought in like stuff for me to like clean it up and just couldn't stop the bleeding. Like it was, couldn't stop it. And they obviously, there's nothing
they can do.
There's nothing they can do other than wrap it up. So they wrapped it up and told me that there was an urgent care place two blocks up the street. Now I'm walking up the street, running to Vince Quinn, the overnight guy on the weekends here, and he's walking in the wrong direction going to the party. He goes, Pete, we're walking in the wrong direction. The party's back that way. I'm like, I'm not going to the party. Look at my hand. He actually walked with me to the urgent care place to make sure I was okay. They look at it, and they're like, you need to go to the emergency room. We can't. I was thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking the urgent care place is going to stitch this up, and I'm going to go to the party.
Yeah, right.
Right? They're like, you have to go to the emergency room. Like, there's nothing. The two cuts were so deep on my hand.
Ugh.
Like, you've got to go to the emergency room. So they wrap it up. I get back on the train back home to Long Island. My wife meets me. I go to the emergency room. 50 stitches later, yada, 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 here we are.
So you hopped on the train. You didn't go to the emergency room?
No, they wanted me to go to Lenox Hill Hospital, and I called my wife, and she's like, yeah, but then if you have to go to, like, a follow-up with this doctor, you have to go back into Manhattan. So she asked them.
So you hopped on a train bleeding profusely?
No. The urgent care place, like, wrapped it back up better than the vet did. And it was okay.
So I wouldn't want to be sitting with you on that train.
No, well, you couldn't.
You staggering onto the, stumbling onto the train, bleeding profusely.
Bleeding out.
I did not.
Bleeding
out. No, I didn't.
They wouldn't got a seat.
No, it was.
Clear the path.
It was, no, they did a good
man
job with the
man in distress.
I was able to get the ticket out of my pocket.
Your bloody ticket.
My bloody ticket.
The guy's right. Like, I can't take
that, sir. If I was that guy, I trust you. You paid for the ride. I trust
you. How far
you
going? It's on me. Click, click.
Right. This one's on me. Click, click. Right.
It's on the city.
It's on the city.
Mayor de Blasio, thank you for your service.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Good job. I was a huge fan of your update.
You're the one listening.
Right.
You've had a Dragons fan. Yeah.
So.
But it's all good. The doctor says I'll make a complete recovery. Stitches will be
no
out.
No nerve damage.
No nerve
no
damage.
No ligament damage.
No ligament damage.
50 stitches?
50 stitches.
How many layers of stitches?
That they had to stitch inside and out.
Yeah,
I know. The inside ones, I don't know how many were. I don't know how they decide, you know.
Well, Moose
them up.
Knows. Moose was almost a doctor based on his kids by now.
No.
He can stitch them up now.
God, dude, stop.
We're just going to teach you guys how to do it.
That's exactly
save you
right.
A trip.
Let me show you the proper suture.
Yeah. We get
to bring the skin together so there's little to no scarring. I learned this about 2 years ago with my son Paul. It's a suture technique that the plastic surgeon taught me.
Yeah.
Soon I'll be able to do my own operations at home.
Yeah.
Honey, crack out the operating table.
I'm not a doctor,
table.
But I play one on CBS Sports Radio.
Right, exactly.
So we get home from the hospital, and my 14-year-old son, Bradley, I got to take a look at this. Let me see what the big deal about this is. Right, so we open it up. I have to clean it twice a day. We open it up. He looks at it. He's like, that's not a big deal. I'm like, really? He goes, I thought your whole hand was cut up. I'm like, do you see the two big gashes in Dad's hand?
Now you have to prove yourself. How old is your son, Bradley?
14.
Oh, to your son, Bradley?
My younger son, Jared's 9. He comprehended it a little bit better than Bradley.
Yeah.
Bradley didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah, I probably would have passed out if I was a 14-year-old and basically been scared to death.
Yeah, he took a look at it. He's like, it's not a big deal.
Your son's very tough.
He plays football, so of course he's tough.
Of course he is. Yeah, that's it. Well, Pete, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
Honestly, I'm glad that you're healthy as a horse. I'm glad that the vet helped you out, that you were able to run into Vince Quinn, and he walked you to the emergency care. Then you were able to get yourself onto a train and get yourself to a hospital.
And then my wife said she's going to trade me in for two 26-year-olds.
There you go. Very nice.
There you go.
Pete.
Well, let's get to sports. In the final Monday Night Football game of the season, the Packers look to finish off the NFC North race.
Green Bay will take a knee and come out of the Twin Cities with a win. They'll be 5-0 in the NFC North.
That was Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. The Packers beat the Vikings 23-10. Green Bay wraps up the NFC North. Head coach Matt LaFleur looked on as Aaron Jones rushed 23 times for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He's been so valuable in all 3 phases in terms of out of the backfield as a receiver and in pass protection. He's done a great job all season long as well. So he's a pretty versatile back, and we're lucky to have him.
The Packers can still clinch a first-round bye this week. Other NFL news, Beast Mode is back. The Seahawks reportedly signed running back Marshawn Lynch for their Week 17 game against the Niners in the playoffs. Lynch, of course, a Seahawk from 2010 to 2015. The Panthers reportedly interviewed former Packers head coach Mike McCarthy for their head coaching vacancy. Baseball, I'm sure you guys saw the story. Now, when these new arenas and stadiums have popped up here in the New York area, you've gone to a place you're not familiar with, and you want to bring stuff with you to the game.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that you would do? Like, if usually my wife carries the bag. If we go to a football game or a hockey game, whatever, my wife will bring a bag with her.
Make sure I have some place where I can hide the alcohol.
Okay, that's one thing. Well, you want to make sure that the bag is within the dimensions allowed by the facility.
That's
right.
Bag policy.
So, obviously, pitcher Rich Hill and his wife Caitlin didn't do that before they went to Gillette Stadium in the Patriots-Bills game on Saturday. They were arrested and fined as a result of an altercation. Hill's wife tried on multiple occasions to enter Gillette Stadium with an oversized bag. And they make it very clear on the websites of these places.
Why don't you just walk back to the car and
bring the car? She repeatedly tried to get into Gillette Stadium with the oversized bag. She was arrested on disorderly conduct and trespassing charges. In the meantime, Rich Hill was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest because he was trying to prevent the police from putting his wife into the police car.
Listen,
all could have been handled very easily.
Nothing says love like getting arrested again.
Well, I mean, just, you know, check the website.
Well, he was defending her honor.
Well, right.
Put her in the paddy wagon.
But I got to be honest with you. You have to be, because I've seen some outlandish behavior from people trying to get into stadiums with oversized bags, or not even just over, just stuff getting rejected at the line after you go through the whole screening process. Like, you have to be really belligerent, because I've seen people get nasty with security people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nasty, calling names and this and that. They're not quick to arrest.
No.
They're not quick to call over the police. They're not. You have to be, like, over-the-top belligerent to actually have the police come by and you getting put into a police car before Patriots-Bills game.
Over a bag.
Yeah. Well, the bag was important.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah, because you haven't read that she was actually drunk or anything, right? But that was my first thought.
No, I'm not saying,
didn't see that
I'm
anywhere.
Not saying,
I know.
Listen, I'm not saying she was drunk. I'm just saying you have to be like really.
Well,
like, they'll take a lot. Like, I've seen security guard. They take a lot. They take a tongue lashing. They take in cold. Like, you have to be like really, really, really nasty.
And I feel like you need help to get to that stage. Like, if she's without enhancement, that nasty that she got arrested for then.
Happy wife, happy life.
I mean,
she didn't want to give up her Louis.
Yeah. Take a walk back to the car and put the bag away. Let me give you a couple NBA scores. The Sixers won last night, beat the Pistons 125-109. Tobias Harris had 35 points, and LaMarcus Aldridge with 40 as the Spurs beat the Grizzlies 145-115. That's sports.
And the Knicks lost, too.
I think people probably assumed it.
And
so
the Knicks were actually favored against the Wizards, and they
lost. Who had, like, seven players.
Nine healthy players, and the Knicks still lost that game.
Yeah, they lost. They were a four-point favorite going into it, and they still lost the game. Amazing.
I think they would have lost to the CBS Sports Radio intramural basketball
game. You think so, Pete?
Yeah,
I wish we had one of those.
Pete, good to see you, brother.
Good to see you.
I'm happy that you're healthy.
As healthy as I possibly could
I mean, it's amazing that you found the vet. They were able, the livestock and all, able to help you out, bandage you up, and send you on your way.
Yeah, poor
I heard this story. I said, that can't be true.
It was.
And, then I didn't realize it was that serious. You're still bandaged up. You've got the thick, heavy bandage on your right hand.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're fine.
I would show you the injury,
you
but I don't want to wrap
the... hip replacement, and you braced yourself on a wrought iron fence.
Yes. Whatever I could do to try and stay alive.
Pete, we love you. Talk to you next hour.
Yeah. Walk carefully back to the studio.
Yes, please. Make sure to brace yourself. Not with the right hand, though. All right?
Uh-oh.
Come back. We'll talk a little NFL. We'll touch upon the Monday night game. Huge win for the Packers. Not a great performance for Cousins and the Vikings and that Viking offense. We'll get into that as Green Bay continues to win football games, despite the fact that nobody is a big believer in the Green Bay Packers. Should you start to believe? We'll get into that next. It's Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogus with you on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
We're passionate about sports, and that's why we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, CBS Sports Radio. Sports, you've come to the right place. We are CBS Sports Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. And haven't spent a lot of time here on this Christmas Eve edition of talking about sports, a little bit about the holidays. We'll get more into that as well as the show does roll along. But in a big Monday night affair last night, and, you know, paint me the fool, Bogish. And I often, you know, don't say that about myself. My wife does, but I often don't say that about myself. But paint me the fool, because I actually thought last night the Minnesota Vikings was going to be the night that Kirk Cousins finally wins a Monday night game, right? 0-8 going into it, taking on the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings are home, and I get they don't have their starting running back in Dalvin Cook. I understand they don't have their backup quarterback, backup running back in Mattis. I understand all that. And, you know, they're rolling out Mike Boone as their third string running back to an extent, but you're getting Abdullah as well running the football too. You got more Abdullah than you did Boone last night, to the chagrin of many fantasy players across the country. But,
or to the happiness of guys like me who is waiting on a championship, depending on Mike Boone running like Walter Payton or like Mike Boone. And luckily he ran like Mike Boone.
Well, he did.
And I'm a winner.
Yeah, you are. Congratulations on that. We'll get into that here momentarily, as you are the victor of the Newsroom Fantasy Football League.
Probably the last one, too. The league is on is on really shaky footing.
Oh, it's going to be disbanded?
I may be.
Is this it, Pete?
I don't know yet. I have to think about it over the holidays.
What does that mean?
Well, we didn't have as much response this year as we did in previous.
Well, you guilted last year. You guilted me into it. I was like, Pete, I'm not sure I want to do. You're the returning champion.
Oh,
you have to return.
True. I did. But
I'm not returning next year, no matter what.
Well, you're running for the hills. Here's the one thing I would say is it's not a big buy-in, right? Which is great, right? So it's not a pricey endeavor. You're not asking. This is not $250, $300, $500 to buy in. So it's not a pricey endeavor. However, the payouts are a little shady in your fantasy league. You basically pay out for like to seven different placings. You win the league, and it's not like you're – it should be winner-take-all, Bilotti.
Okay. I'll think about that.
I mean, that's what you should be. I mean, it should be a case of there's 12 teams in the league, right?
There is, yes.
All right, maybe you want to pay out to second place. It should be, you know, you got 600 in the pot, right? Say 600 units in the pot. It should be 5 to first, 1 to second. And kick everyone else in the rear end. Enjoy the off season.
I want to reward the division winners too, because sometimes
division winners.
Yeah. Yes. So
Bogus wins. He basically gets he won $20 for the entire year effort.
I won. Then Greg Giannotti came in second. Ben Horowitz was third. Shockingly, Pete is a division winner. So you got to take care of those division winners.
I was 11-2, Bogus.
And then you get a consolation prize, it says here, Moose, on this email. I don't know what that is.
What's my consolation
prize? No, you win the consolation bracket, thus you get the first pick next year.
Oh, how about that? You got to come back. You got the first pick.
I have the first pick next year?
Yes.
I'm in. I'm in. Count me in. It doesn't take me much.
Do I pick last as the champion?
Is that how this reverse order of standings after?
Congratulations on winning your title.
Thank you.
I won the FAN League.
Oh, congrats.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Yeah, I beat Mike Carver.
Good. He deserved it.
I was 9-4 going into it. You know, dude, I had a 60-point lead. He had Boone and Rodgers last night.
Ooh.
And I had Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
And so,
probably increased your lead.
I did. I won by, I think, 65 points.
Okay.
Rodgers did nothing, dude.
No.
He did absolutely nothing over the course of the game. I was surprised by that. But anyway, even with him doing nothing, Aaron Jones runs for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns. And the Packers score, 14 unanswered points, win the game 23-10, trailing at one point in time 10-9. And they win this game going away. I mean, for a team that is 12-3, I don't think there's a team in the National Football League that gets talked about less than the Green Bay Packers. We've talked about the Pats. We've talked about the Chiefs.
Yep.
We've talked about the Baltimore Ravens. We've talked about the Saints. We've talked about the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, how many times
have we...
The Bills. We've talked about the Dallas Cowboys. You go up and down. All these teams that we talk about... We've talked about the Minnesota Vikings and Cousins. You know, the little girl with the curl. Can he finally win a big game? Can he finally beat a quality team? Can he take the Minnesota Vikings to the promised land? Why he was brought in there to Minnesota for Mike Zimmer and the boys. We've talked about the Rams. We've talked about the Seahawks. When exactly do you ever talk outside the greater Lambeau area and Green Bay area? When exactly do you talk about the Green Bay Packers on the national stage in terms of being a Super Bowl contending team? We don't. And maybe they're disrespected. Maybe we should be talking about the Packers as being a Super Bowl contending team. When I watched that game last night, do I look at a team that's capable of winning a championship? Even with their 12 victories this year, Bogus, I don't think they're that kind of a team.
Are they going to play defense like that, though, last night? I mean, they were all over the place. And obviously, a big chunk of that is Cook and Madison not being there for Minnesota. But I'm with you. As that game is developing, and they're losing early. It was 10-9 at halftime. It was 10-3 in the second quarter. And it's turnover, turnover, turnover. I'm trying to make a list in my head of all the teams in the NFC that are better than Green Bay. That, you know, regardless of their seeding, just where they actually stand in the conference. But then they basically pitch a shutout for the last, 35, 36 minutes of that game, and they can run it. But the Rodgers thing is interesting. I mean, he doesn't appear, for all the stories about how is it going to work with Matt LaFleur, then it's working well with Matt LaFleur. Here we are the back half of the season, and I think he has, two TDs in his last three games, none last night. There's something not right about their passing game, and they can't, if the defense is great, that's awesome. If they can run it, that's good. But he's got to be dynamic for them to survive some combination of Seattle, New Orleans, and San Francisco.
Oh, he's got to be better than he is.
And it's not right. He's not good enough now. They're not good enough right now.
And he clearly does not trust anybody else but Devontae Adams, who had 13 catches, 116 yards last night. Whether it be Lazard, whether it be Jimmy Graham, whether it be Valtez Scantling, Geronimo Allison. The love affair for the other wide receivers out there in Green Bay is just not there. He loves throwing to Devontae Adams, and Adams is, at 16 targets last night, 13 receptions. But you're dead on correct about Aaron Rodgers. That offense and what you looked at Aaron Rodgers, and maybe it's a case of, he gets a little bit too much respect. Maybe there has been a little regression in Aaron Rodgers. He was not good last night, but also Kirk Cousins was not good either. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah.
You talk about having a ground game to lean on. When he does not have that ground game, and the Minnesota Vikings last night had 57 yards on the ground, that is it. One of the more dominant rush offenses in the National Football League. You look at Cousins last night, he was all over the place. And I get the Packers defense played really, really well. And I'll tell you, you look at that Za'Darius Smith, who had, 3.5 sacks, 5.5 tackles for loss, 9-7 tackles in the game. Za'Darius Smith, who signed on as a free agent and left the Baltimore Ravens in the offseason, he might be there as a top two or three free agent signing last offseason.
No.
He has been absolutely amazing. Him and the Smith brothers, and they're not brothers, but I mean that's what they're called up there in Green Bay. Za'Darius and Preston Smith, they are fantastic at getting after the quarterback.
And then they walked off the field back to the locker room yelling, "How do you like that?"
Yes.
Just one last little dig at Kirk Cousins. The Vikings, it's amazing how many teams, just as you're about to believe, and here's you walking into that game last night thinking they're going to win that. I thought they're at least going to be competitive. And then they put up last night a stat that I can't remember reading in a long time. They didn't have a drive last night longer than 31 yards in their building. In a game where it could have kept alive their very slim divisional championship hopes, and again, starting behind the eight ball with no running game, basically, but they didn't have a drive longer than 31 yards.
Think about that.
At home last night. And the Packers are good, but they're not. This is not the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears defense against them.
Well, it's not, and it's really a knock on that Viking offensive line. The Packers' defense has been bad. I mean, the Packers' defense has given up big plays. They've been able to get after the quarterback. But in terms of being able to run it and throw it on them, they have given up big plays throughout the course of this year. Their secondary and coverage has struggled. You would have thought Cousins, with Thielen and Stephon Diggs, would have been able to attack that secondary.
And the two tight ends.
And the two. They would have been able to attack them, and they didn't.
Nope.
They did not over the course of that game. That is as deflating a loss as you could possibly have, because you look at the Vikings, they look stymied. And you know what I knew Minnesota was in trouble? The opening possession, Jones fumble, recovered by Minnesota, deep in Packers territory, inside the 15-yard line. And from there, or inside, I should say, inside the 10-yard line. They were about the 6-yard line. They get it down to the 2 and go no further.
Right.
And they don't score a touchdown, end up settling for a short Dan Bailey field goal. That's what I said. At that stage, you've got to punch it in if you're Minnesota.
Diggs caught the touchdown, but I don't think Thielen had a catch last night. Cousins was 4 of 12 at halftime. It's a kind of effort that can't happen. It's similar to the Cowboys Sunday in Philadelphia. It was so bad in such a big spot, it almost defies explanation.
Agreed. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish with you on this Tuesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.